Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
As COVID cases trend down, states roll back their restrictions and even start offering money and free beer to people getting vaccinated. Welcome, I'm Kyle Peterson with the Wall Street Journal. We're joined today by my colleagues, WSJ columnists Kim Strassel and Bill McGurn. More than 40% of people over age 18 in the U.S. are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19. And 56% of those people have gotten at least one dose. New cases are trending downward. Governors are dialing back the remaining restrictions on public activity. New York and New Jersey said Monday that in 2 weeks, they will lift most of their capacity restrictions on restaurants, gyms, and salons, and so forth. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, meanwhile, suspended his state's COVID orders, emergency orders, including those issued by local leaders. And here's part of what he said. Quote, I think folks that are saying that they need to be policing people at this point, if you're saying that, you really are saying you don't believe in the vaccines, you don't believe in the data, you don't believe in the science, unquote. So, Bill, after a long year and some months, do you think that the COVID endgame is finally in sight here?
I think it is, but not just because of the vaccines. I also think there's a weariness among the American people, and you can't keep these things going indefinitely, especially when the rationale for them becomes more and more tenuous. You know, all these people are talking about following the science, but they're not following the CDC. They're following the restrictions that they don't seem to be able to give up on. And they want people to continue wearing masks. There's not much of an incentive for the American people if you say, go out and get vaccinated and so forth, keep yourself safe, and you won't be a threat to others. And then you're told, well, you're still going to have to wear masks and do all these other things. Like, I'd like to know, what would the criteria be for ending this? Because I think in some of these states, the states like Florida and so forth, and Texas, I think the people are just tired, and they're going to de facto move to the end of COVID, you know, do more things socially and so forth, and others won't. It will be interesting to see how it goes. But my guess is, my point is that I think the ending is going to be forced on a lot of politicians rather than that they actually make the decision.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, some of those decisions are being made by state and local leaders who are clearly looking at the numbers. I mean, the Journal's news pages say that in the state of New Jersey, there were about 1,100 new COVID cases on Sunday, which is down 75% from just a month ago. LA County on Sunday, there was a big story reported, zero COVID deaths, zero new COVID deaths. And there was a little warning in that story that maybe that won't hold as more data filters in, but still, that is a huge improvement. And the nationally, the numbers are trending down nicely too. So the tracker at the Centers for Disease Control, I looked at that this morning. The most recent peak, the moving average for new daily cases was about 70,000. And that is going down at a really nice slope. It's down now to about 48,000. And so, Kim, it does raise the question nationally when people like Joe Biden start saying that it's time to cut it.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I think one of the other numbers has been key in particular, as you see some of these governors lifting restrictions, has not just been declining case numbers, but decreasing hospitalizations. And remember, when we went all the way back to this, the notion isn't that you keep everyone from ever getting sick, but rather that you don't want people dying from this. You don't want to overcrowd the hospitals. And if you dig into the numbers some, it's pretty clear that a lot of the cases that are coming through now, a significant number are of younger people and between those between 18 and 30. And that's been the case all along, but increasingly they're making up a lot of them. And that's not to say some of them aren't getting sick enough that they have to go to the hospital too, that they have to go, but you're simply, you've got so much of the older population vaccinated now. The numbers are really significant, that hospital threat has receded. And one of the things that I also just think was very interesting about the Cuomo announcement in particular. And you know, it was New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut all together saying that they were lifting basically all of their restrictions, which is pretty remarkable considering that there were some areas, for instance, of New York that were still at businesses were at 25% capacity. So this is a big shift. But Cuomo came out and he said, quote, life should be returning to normal. And he intimated that one of the reasons for doing this is that it would be an incentive for people to get vaccinated, knowing that these businesses are open and waiting for them to come again. One of the things they did is pair this with some rules in larger venues. You'd have to show proof of a negative COVID test or a proof of vaccination. But my point is, I think there are some governors that are realizing that what Bill said, that if you really want to get people incentivized, give them an incentive to go out and get that vaccination.
But one of the interesting national announcements was from the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration. And what they did recently was they said that they're extending their mask mandate. I'll just read a bit of this. For individuals across all transportation networks throughout the United States, including at airports, onboard commercial aircraft, on over-the-road buses, and on commuter bus and rail systems through September 13. And two questions there. I mean, Bill, September 13, it's hard to know what these vaccination and case numbers are going to look like in September, but the vaccination number could be much higher than it is now, and the case number could be very low. And two, I mean, it seems like there's no distinction between these things. I mean, maybe on board a commercial aircraft in a tin tube with a bunch of other people packed in, maybe that's a special case, but airports, I mean, there seems to be there's more space and social distancing opportunity at airports than there is in some grocery stores.
Yeah, I think it points to we have what we lack are accurate risk estimates. Now, sometimes they're not going to be good, especially at the beginning of an epidemic like this. You know, you're not going to know that much, and we know a lot more now than we did, say, a year ago. But we don't seem to measure risk, and everything's treated, you know, as the same. Like masks are equal to ventilation, which I just don't think is true. And these things like masks, I mean, I wear a mask out of politeness to other people. I'm not that persuaded it really is effective in doing anything. I don't think there's a peer-reviewed scientific survey saying that it is. But I realize if you walk into a store and you don't have one, you might freak people out. So just out of decency and politeness, I wear it. But it makes me think this is like a rabbit's foot. You know, it's not going to actually do much to help me. Whereas getting a vaccine obviously does make a difference. And being in a place where there's air circulating, that makes a difference too. So we have no cost benefit and so forth. And it seems to become a superstitious, you know, group of things we just do in the hopes that it's better. For example, we've spent the whole year, you know, cleaning out Clorox wipes from our CVS shelves to sanitize everything. And it looks like surfaces don't transmit COVID the way that we might have thought. Now, there's nothing wrong with not knowing that at the beginning, but we should be open. My point is we should be open to testing these propositions and changing our mind about what we need when the facts change and when we realize something. Instead, it just seems this grim thing that no matter what we do, we're going to want you to wear two masks on July 4th when you're outdoors with your family. And I don't think the American people are really going to sit for that. That's what I said. The politicians think they're making these decisions on reopening. I think as more and more people get vaccinated and the numbers go down of deaths and hospitalizations, I just think a lot of people are going to stop on their own.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. The other piece of national guidance, which is notable and has come in for a lot of criticism, Kim, of course, is that from the Centers for Disease Control, this CDC guidance, particularly saying that people who are vaccinated should continue to wear masks. Kim, what did you make of that?
Well, it just goes to everything that Bill's been discussing, that you've been discussing. Look, if you want to incentivize people to get a vaccination, then make it clear that when they do, life goes back to normal. And, you know, this didn't make any sense. And it seems to go to Bill's point about it becoming a sort of totem rather than anything based on the science. The CDC accompanied this with this kind of intensely complicated graphic that showed what you could do if you were vaccinated and what you, when you had to wear a mask, if you were vaccinated, when you had to wear a mask, if you weren't vaccinated. Literally, there's only a couple of things that you're allowed to do under CDC guidance if you are vaccinated, essentially, like you, that you couldn't do if you weren't vaccinated. And that is essentially go outside with fully vaccinated families and friends, dine at an outdoor restaurant with friends, or attend a small outdoor gathering with fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people. There's like three categories, but you know, it still says you need to wear a mask if you're going into a hair salon. You need to wear a mask if you're riding on public transport. You need to wear a mask if you're going to church or if you go to a movie theater. And you know, for a lot of people, they're really uncomfortable with these. They don't want to do it. So it's not encouraging anybody to go get vaccinated. We need to be making clear that when you get your shots and you've waited your 2 weeks and you're considered fully inoculated, that life for you goes back to normal. That's going to be the quickest way to get those numbers up.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Something that I thought was interesting in the wake of this CDC guidance was some reporting, a tweet by an Associated Press reporter. And he was explaining the head of the CDC is Rochelle Walensky. And here's what this AP reporter said. CDC's Dr. Walensky says guidance for fully vaccinated people to wear masks indoors, mass gatherings, is largely to protect unvaccinated from other unvaccinated folks who may be there, given difficulty of distinguishing vaccinated people from those that aren't, unquote. And I guess I'm a little sympathetic. Let me just restart that sentence. I guess I'm a little sympathetic to that problem. If 40% of Americans over the age of 18 are fully vaccinated, that means that 60% are not and could potentially still be protected from one another by wearing masks. But it's and it's difficult to sustain that kind of norm if half the people in the grocery store are vaccinated and decide to go blissfully mask-free. But that said, Bill, if it's the case, then why doesn't the CDC just say that and tell people the truth of what the motivation is?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the point to me. It seems that so much of this, the paternalism, is that the American people can't handle the truth, they can't handle nuance, and therefore you can't trust them. So therefore, you treat them like children and just, you know, forbid everything. And I think a lot of people feel that that's how they're being treated. Look, and it's okay to say there are some things we don't know, but I think a family gathering of all people that have been vaccinated, do we really want to say that they have to obey the same rules as strangers on an airplane? I don't think so. And common sense has just gone out the window. And as Kim says, look, the purpose of doing all these things is to get our lives back. And if they're saying, no, you can't do it, still got to wear your masks, you know, can't change it, I think people just give up in a way.
Yeah. And I mean, the question is quickly becoming how to keep those vaccine numbers going up. They still are, but it looks like there's something of a slowdown. And one thing that could help is that the Food and Drug Administration is expected to shortly approve giving the Pfizer vaccine to kids ages 12 to 15, which opens up millions of more arms. And Kim, although there are some lingering doubts about the idea of ever hitting herd immunity with COVID, a good example, it seems to me, of what's possible is Israel, which has been leading the vaccines. There's a recent newspaper article about 60% of the total population there and more than 80% of people age 16 and up are vaxxed. And they had a recent day, Kim, where there were only 13 new COVID cases reported, which is amazing.
Yeah, this is inspiring because I think it's the kind of example that a lot of people need to see, you know, because the press is so doom and gloom. One of the problems with this vaccination campaign in the United States is that, you know, a lot of people are going to do it. They might feel personally more comfortable and confident going out knowing that they have been protected. But, you know, the press at the same time has just been doom and gloom and look at all these numbers and see what's happening in India and the cases aren't really going down. Well, now we're seeing that in a number of states around the country where you are having falling rolling averages. And then you have an example like Israel, and it's a good moment because people can look and say, oh, okay, like this is what happens. Like we can get ahead of this. And that might inspire more people. Also interesting and good news is if the FDA is going to move on approving the Pfizer vaccine for younger teens, they're talking about doing it down to the age of 12. And that's really interesting because the American Academy of Pediatrics had some interesting numbers the other day. They had looked at state by state cases, broken them out. And they found that at this point, something like 22% of new cases are under the age of 18, which is like one of the largest proportions ever. And I want to stress that the overall numbers of kids who are getting this are still much lower than they were when we had the surge in the winter. It's just that as older people are getting vaccinated, increasingly a big percentage or a bigger percentage of the cases we're seeing are happening in younger, not just younger people, but also kids. So, you know, that might be something if the FDA gets moving and that gets approved, would also play a big role in stomping out some of the cases we're still seeing out there.
And the other good news on that line is that the vaccines appear to be broadly effective against at least some of these new variants of the virus that are emerging. Specifically, the journal had a story about how the Pfizer vaccine seems to work pretty well against this UK variant. Sometimes it's called B.1.1.7, and I believe it's more infectious. It's easier to spread. But if the Pfizer vaccine works against it, that's the route to avoiding the spread of that variant. And so it's interesting, Bill, on the question of how to keep getting vaccines going into arms. One answer is to pay people to take it. And that's what West Virginia has hit on. The state is now offering $100 savings bonds to anybody between the age of 16 and 35. So this cohort of people who are at low risk of COVID and maybe at low propensity of getting vaccinated. Now the governor there, Jim Justice, has calculated that this is going to cost the state some millions of dollars, Bill, but that it's totally worth it if you can get businesses back up and running.
Yeah, well, at least they're doing a cost-benefit analysis. Look, this is the standard path, right? In the beginning, for some nationally needed vaccine, in the beginning, there's such a pent-up demand. I mean, it took me, I don't know whether it was 3 months, but more than 2 months to get my vaccination, and I signed up right away, and I'm over 60 with diabetes, so I'm kind of on a priority list, but it took me a while to get it. Now I understand, and I just had my second shot on April 18th, but already I understand people in a lot of places are just able to walk in and get it. Now that's the standard thing. After you deal with the pent-up demand and so forth, the demand's going to thin out, and the more marginal people are, the you know, the less eager they are to get it. I mean, a kid looking at this might conclude, not irrationally, you know, my risks from COVID aren't that high. Why should I get it? Because even if I get COVID, it's likely not to be a big deal, certainly not a life-threatening deal for me. So, you know, getting those people there will be a tough sell. I think some of the ways they're going to do it is my daughter's heading off to college next year. I fully expect her university to impose a requirement that she be vaccinated before she goes to college. So I think we're going to see a lot of different solutions. If it takes a beer, that might be cheap compared to other things the government spends money on, if it actually gets people in to get it done.
Yeah, speaking of beer, that was the other program I was going to mention. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy announced something that the state is calling Shot and a Beer. And he tweeted, any New Jerseyan who gets their first vaccine dose in the month of May and takes their vaccination card to a participating brewery will receive a free beer. And then there's a list of all these local breweries. You can go in and get a free drink. Kim, is this a government program pioneered by the state of New Jersey that we should spread all over America?
Well, you know, actually, they didn't really pioneer it. It's kind of interesting. They've taken this from business community, which came up with it first. You know, in my town, the word spread and everybody laughed. You know, Krispy Kreme donuts. You could get a free Krispy Kreme donut if you showed your vaccination card. So this is the state now doing the same thing. Is, you know, one free beer from New Jersey enough to inspire people to go get a shot? I don't know. You know, maybe if they offered them a six pack, but we'll see if that helps. Look, I still think all of these things on the margin, whether it's West Virginia offering money, whether it's businesses and the state offering financial incentives or free goods. Yeah, I think that's going to help on the edges. But probably the most important thing that could happen is for federal agencies looking at this and issuing guidance for the state and local governments that are putting out the rules to simply have a very clear line. If you're vaccinated, life goes back to normal for you. And that is going to be one of the best ways of getting people to get this done.
Thank you, Kim and Bill. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back later this week with another edition of Potomac Watch.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.